For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air.
Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show, Memorial Day edition.
And don't forget what Memorial Day is all about.
Dan and the Danettes are off, paying tribute to the brave men and women who sacrificed their lives in service of this nation. But the show must go on, and Doug Gottlieb and Rob Parker have picked up the mantle. Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What up? Good morning. Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker, in for Dan and Danettes. Hope you and your family and your friends get a chance to spend today, Memorial Day, thinking about those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can do the things we do on Memorial Day, right? Hang out, cook, watch, talk, sports, and just be. And now we can be together and outside, and there is hope on the horizon. Hope you're well. Rob, good Memorial Day to you. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Doug. How are you? And yes, to Memorial Day, everybody who's celebrating and remembering those who gave their lives, indeed. It also, Doug, to me, always thought about the official start of summer. And you're right. It's a different summer for us from a year ago. And I'm happy about that.
I mean, especially for somebody like you that's traveled the world, been to all the continents, and now to be able to sometime soon get out and visit the rest of the world. It's got to be.
I'm on my way, Doug. I got my ticket. Going to Australia for a second time in January. I've never been to the West Coast, so I'm going to go head to Sydney and then go over to Perth to see what that looks like. So I'm ready to make another international trip.
West Side, and don't talk about the East Side when you're with the West Side. You may end up not making it back off the island of Australia. With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Oh, if there were only something to talk about, right?
And I know, my goodness gracious.
So people understand how it works. Dan the Danette's like, all right, we're off. Okay. So you guys are off, and Rob and I got the assignment last week. And you're thinking to yourself, like, God, sometimes these playoffs are just Nobody cares. Just get to the, especially first round of the playoffs. A lot of times,
a lot of four game sweeps. You know what I mean? Yeah, like that Miami Milwaukee kind of thing,
right? Usually. And so you kind of got to make it up as you go, right? Or you got to talk about something which really is not pertinent in terms of like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Julio Jones is quite obviously going to be traded. I don't think it happens. It has to happen after June 1st, but whatever. Like, there's lots of things that can, in fact, be discussed. But, oh, the NBA has served up a smorgasbord of very tasty topics, from the Nets' dominance over the depleted Celtics and Kyrie Irving getting a water bottle thrown at him, but that was after he looked like he smudged the face of the Celtic. We'll get to that.
Yeah, but he had 39 points, too. Remember.
Look, Kyrie Irving can hoop. Like, Kyrie Irving can hoop.
I was going to say, you know as well as anybody. Say whatever you want. He's a little different. I have no problem with people being different. But, man, can he play basketball. The moves he puts on people, the way he finishes at the rim, he's so smooth. I enjoy watching him play. You know,
I do too. The Kyrie Irving experience is just a bizarre one. Him trying to kind of rewrite how it really went down in Boston is comical. All that said, bro, that good luck guarding that guy. And he's actually in the perfect situation, because though he can make every play as a passer and facilitate, he doesn't really have to. And that's not what he really likes to do. Like, I'll never forget that Jeff Capel, who recruited him to Duke, told me, he's like, you know, Kyrie was not a point guard coming up, right? He just wasn't. And he wasn't really a point guard at any other time other than when he was at Duke, where they were trying to make him into a point guard. He only played 10 games at Duke.
Right.
And so he's in an ideal situation for himself, personally, professionally, and all around. Still, there's a lot to get to. Okay.
We'll get there. I just want to say one other thing.
Yes.
Whenever I look at Kevin Durant's stat line, I'm just yesterday, 14 for 20. What do you have? 42 points?
Yep.
I mean, he doesn't need the ball, doesn't need a million shots. He can score at will. I mean, he's also like one of those players. They have three of those guys who are amazing to me to watch.
Yes, they do. Do they have enough defense? Do they have the ability to share the ball at the right moments if somebody's not feeling it? These questions won't be answered against the Celtics, who essentially were without three starters yesterday. But those aren't the big topics you want to get to with the Celtics and Nets. It's more about Kyrie and more fan behavior stuff, and Kyrie trying to rewrite exactly what went down in Boston. Then we got the Clippers, who were left for absolute dead. I mean, Nick Wright's like, they should move to Seattle, which is never going to happen, but it's comical.
And he was very quiet over the weekend as well when it comes to that. A lot of people jumped to it. It was just too easy. Doug, you know this in this business. It's easy to write people off, and just the series wasn't over, and people do this all the time. Two games does not make a series, and if they really, really honestly looked at what the Mavericks did in L.A., they shot the ball unbelievably, and it just looked like the Clippers are no good. They're terrible. I got some numbers that I got to share with you when it comes to that. But anyway, the Clippers are back in the series, and they look as good as we thought they would be going into the playoffs.
Well, and there was a coaching decision in Game 3 that I want to get to. But again, so this is all the stuff that's changed over the weekend, right? Clippers were dead 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and now they're very much alive, and the Mavericks seem dead, as opposed to the Lakers. You go back a day ago, but before the Lakers were about to take on the Suns, they were a 7-point favorite yesterday at home. Chris Paul looked feeble at best in Game 3, right? And you're just thinking to yourself, let's just get this thing over with. This felt like a regular first-round series. The only difference is the Lakers were a 7 seed and the Suns were a 2. We start to realize, and you get the greatest 7 seed of all time and blah, 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 blah. And then a funny thing happens on the way to crowning the Lakers back-to-back NBA champions. They lose, and more importantly, they lost Anthony Davis for the remainder of the game, and maybe for the next. We don't even know, because he has some form of groin injury. All right, let's get to the Anthony Davis part. Like I saw Colin, his post, which is I mean, like, look, stop me if you heard this before. Anthony Davis is hurt, right? He is hurt. How much of it do you think it's Anthony Davis being hurt? How much of it do you think it's LeBron James not being the same old LeBron James where he can carry a team? He's had some amazing moves in this series, but he was able to close out. I think it was game two. It was kind of closing time. But he's not able to carry the Lakers, at least to this point, on his own without AD.
No doubt. AD is the most important player. And it doesn't mean that they can win without LeBron. That's not it when I say that. But they're not winning anything without AD. It's just not going to happen, Doug. And you're right about LeBron and being able to carry them. Like that would have been, okay, AD goes down, right? And the second half, LeBron and his minions, they still could have won the game. They still could have made a push. And maybe LeBron has some unbelievable second half and does what he needs to do, not only for himself, but his teammates, get them involved, make plays easy for them, and it just didn't happen. So they're in a little bit of trouble, and Anthony Davis has a history. Other than the bubble last year, right, where everything went right for him, this is Anthony Davis. This is who he is and who he has been for a while.
You know, the truth is that, and this is the people that I know that know Anthony Davis know, he's good dude, obviously, and he's a guy who, you know, he's like the second in command, the consigliere kind of for LeBron James. LeBron James tells him what to do, and then he kind of leads the team at times by proxy. But they all say the same thing, like, look, he's not LeBron in terms of taking care of his body. And maybe that's one of the reasons he was so good in the bubble was he couldn't just eat anything. He couldn't just not work out. He was basically under the watchful eye of LeBron. Like, it's no secret why. Look, LeBron and his elasticity in this sport with that body at this age is remarkable, right? Like, he's been hurt twice in his career. It's crazy. But it's not an accident. What's the old success is not an accident? It's not an accident. The dude is a fanatic about taking care of his body. Everything that goes into his body for a reason. Right? Like when how guys brag about stuff. Everybody's from nothing. Yeah, I grew up so dirt poor. I walked barefoot, naked to school,
right,
uphill in snow, both. Like everybody brags about how bad they have it. Dude, and guys in the NBA, they brag about what they spend on their chef and what they spend on. No, when he says he spends $1 million on his body, he's not really lying. Okay, maybe inflating it a little bit or maybe overspending on stuff. Hey, LA, West LA prices, I got it. Okay, but the point is, it's not an accident, as opposed to Anthony Davis, who he's just a hooper. And his body breaks down because he just hoops and doesn't really spend nearly the same amount of attention to detail. It's not really a surprise that, you know, when one thing goes, the next thing goes. This is also the fear when you have a lingering injury is, whether it's related or not related, the fact is that when you have something wrong with your ankle or your calf or your heel or whatever, you start to run different, move different, and then your body doesn't always react to it. That's when you end up hurting something else. But the Lakers, they're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. There's no, do I think they can survive this round? Like, yeah, I think they can. I don't know if they can. You know, you're talking about LeBron having the ability to carry them at least one game. Can he win a game kind of on his own? Yeah, I think he's got that. Can he win two on his own, or two getting something out of Kuzma and more out of Schroeder and all these guys? And or maybe Anthony Davis is back in game seven and he gives you a close to regular effort? Yeah. But this is the big fear with this team is LeBron's never hurt, but older, and older guys do break down. And then you're just trying to hope that the more games, the more attrition, the more likely more injuries pop up.
But here's the other part is Chris Paul looked good yesterday. Like, Laker fans were thrilled to death that he was, not going to be the guy that we thought he would be with that team and the Suns, first time in the playoffs since 2010. And the season that it had of Phoenix, right, Doug, as the second seed. And then Chris Paul is hurt in game one. They're able to win that game, and he didn't look himself in game two or three, but he looked good yesterday. So if you're the Suns, how do you not feel good about where you are now?
I think of all the amazing things, okay, and I totally understand if you're a sports fan, you're like, man, the NBA, it's like, it doesn't get good until the conference finals. Okay, look, I'll admit it's been a lot of basketball. It didn't really stop because the bubble dragged on to October and there's only a couple months off and the regular season, nobody cared or whatever. If you haven't paid attention, like, look, here's the quick rundown, okay? The Lakers and the Clippers, 3 days ago, the Clippers were still cursed and they were about to get swept out of the playoffs, and Steve Ballmer was going to walk into the offices today and fire somebody, maybe fire everybody.
Yep. Kawhi was going to bolt after this year.
Yeah, because he's a free agent at the end of this year. That was 3 days ago.
Yep. Okay?
And 1 day ago, the Lakers were like laughing at the Clippers. You know, they extend their lease 20 more years in Staples while the Clippers are struggling to build this one, you know, in Inglewood close to where they used to play in the Forum. Right? 1 day ago, the Lakers were the clear favorite to repeat. And it's like, man, they might not have to play the Clippers again, right? And so they play Portland. They whooped Portland's ass last year. Maybe it's Denver. Denver doesn't have Jamal Murray. They beat them last year, right? Who are you going to throw at? There's nobody's been. That was 1 day ago. And now, a little panic in the streets. Holy crap. LeBron's old. Kyle Kuzma stinks. Dennis Schroeder has done nothing in the playoffs. And Anthony Davis might not play in game five or game six. We don't know because of a groin injury. That's how quickly these things have changed.
That the reason I did not pick the Lakers to come out of the West was my reason was simple. Too many things have to go right for them, you know, and the health situation with both of these guys, because they were both injured and LeBron was out for a while, just not knowing, you know what I mean? If they're going to be able to stay clear of re-injuring themselves. And then this squad, Doug, is not the team that won the championship last year. So I, you know, as much as people, you know, just, oh, yeah, the Lakers are going to go and they got an easy path. I heard all the people ranting and raving about how LeBron is going to get through this one and a piece of cake, as you said, a day or two ago, and how all that has changed is amazing. But that's sports. That's why you play it out. That's why you can't just assume if a team, and you know how playoffs are in basketball. I spent many Memorial Days covering the NBA, Doug, when I was a beat writer in New York at the Daily News, and I remember covering Michael Jordan on I don't know how many Memorial Days in Chicago for, you know, a playoff game.
Sure.
And yeah, and it just, you don't know. I mean, I know it's easy to just automatically think if somebody wins a game, it feels like whoever wins the game before is in control. No matter what the scenario is, every time somebody wins, you go, okay, it's all over. It's not over. It's not over until you win four games. It's not.
Coming up next with Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan the Danettes. Hope you're having a safe and fun Memorial Day weekend, and you have a great day today as we remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country here on the Dan Patrick Show. Coming up next, you can't win a game in the first half, but you can damn sure lose it. What if I told you, Rob, that I think one coach cost his team a game and likely the series on one decision? We'll get to that next. For Rob, I'm Doug. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like A lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
Doug Gottlieb, Rob Parker in for Dan and the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show. Hope you're having a safe and healthy and happy Memorial Day weekend. Rob, Memorial Day weekend, better in Detroit or in New York?
Detroit, because at my home there, I had a swimming pool. In-ground swimming pool that I had installed. I didn't have a big house, but I had a double lot for a yard, Doug. So I had a half basketball court, a beautiful deck, and an in-ground pool. And used to have great parties and friends, and it was awesome. I'm telling you, that house was like a bachelor pad. You know what I mean? Since I was a bachelor, it was a bachelor pad, but it was great times.
Okay, so the question is, when you would have a soiree on Memorial Day weekend and you had the pool, would you do the cooking or would you pick it up, right? Or you go
No, I would hire somebody to come and cook it fresh at the party. Like, that's the way I'd like to do it. I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but I would plan for it. I'd rather have somebody cook, manning the grill. You know, you have a lot of friends and people coming over. And you want to make sure everybody's good and, you know, they got food and they got something to drink. So if you're the host, it's a lot of work. So if you have people taking care of the drinks, taking care of the food, then I could just mingle and hang out with everybody, you know, and enjoy it, get in the pool. The pool was heated. The pool was lit. It was a great time.
Personally, like, I get why people do that because you can't be around your house. You can't be a host nearly as well when you're manning the grill. But to me, like, that's the best part.
I get it. If you're a grill guy. This. Right.
Yeah, I'm a grill guy.
So you'll stay in front of the grill the whole party? I mean, or do you?
No. I mean, again, it's about pre-planning. You know, you start really early and you get things, you know, pretty close. And then when it's time to eat, it's time to eat.
How about the ribs? Are you a ribs guy or not?
Yes.
Ribs, if ribs cook right and tender, drop off the bone. I'm going to Cincinnati in July. Okay, I hadn't been there in a while. And have you, Doug, did you ever eat at the Montgomery Inn?
Of course.
Okay, everybody, if you go to Cincinnati.
Right.
Some of the best ribs I've ever had. Fall off the bone, tender.
Very good.
And so I'm getting together with some friends who I haven't seen in a long time. And, of course, that's where we're going, to the Boathouse, right? Right down downtown Cincinnati.
He's Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Okay. I believe that you can't win something in the first half, but you can damn sure lose it. And I understand what I think I respect about NBA coaches above most guys who sit in these chairs is, if you've coached or played in professional basketball, you understand how much is really going on. Like, the coaching is so far and away above that of what happens in college basketball or even at the lower levels of professional basketball. Like, it is, I mean, David Blatt obviously kind of stepped in it here because he talked about it being like a fighter pilot. But there really are those many decisions. And sometimes you have to manage, a lot of times you have to manage this in the fourth quarter of a game. Do you take, I mean, we saw this with the Hawks in game two in New York. The only game the Hawks have lost to the Knicks, it felt like they kept Trae Young out when he's running a fever too long in the fourth quarter. And then by the time they bring him back, a couple of his teammates miss open shots and they can't ultimately close the gap and beat the Knicks.
I thought that was the case too in watching that game. I was surprised he wasn't out there. Like, Knicks were taking over.
So we see it a lot in the fourth quarter. LeBron takes a break in the fourth quarter, right? All these guys they take because to push him all the way through, a lot of times those last 3 or 4 minutes, you got to have something in the tank. As much as you think it's like a video game where they don't get tired, so it doesn't, and I do know that in video games they have some that where they get fatigued, and it's really hard for a video game to mimic that of the NBA. And how much does fatigue play a part in what you do and how you do it? There's a science behind sports science. So I'm not disregarding it. But every game is different unto itself. Right? Every game is different. Like my dad died almost 6 years ago, and he was a good college basketball coach. He was a very good AAU coach. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he was Red Auerbach, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't great at drawing up plays. He wasn't, but he did. Every coach has some pearls of wisdom when they've done it for 20 years. Otherwise, what the hell were they doing for 20 years? And his expression was always, every game is a story or a game unto itself. And today we're talking about the Clippers not just being back in the series, but with Luka Doncic having something weird in his neck. They looked non-competitive in the second half. Luka looked like he couldn't do anything. And whether it's because he couldn't move and guard anybody or the real Mavericks showed up, I mean, it was a non-competitive second half. Mm-hmm. But I go back to Friday night, and the Clippers weren't ready to play. They're down 2-0. They're super tight. You know, they don't have Serge Ibaka. He's out with a bad back. They get down 14-2 to start the game. You're like, oh, boy.
Oh, it was ugly. Doug, it was like, here we go. And I think Luka had, 8 straight points to start the game? It was like, here we go again. This is a wrap.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They're up 28-11. Complete control of the game. And Rick Carlisle, and I'm not in any way trying to tell you Rick Carlisle's an idiot because he's won an NBA championship. And generally,
I saw Rick up close when he was a coach in Detroit. Remember when they started to turn around? Larry Brown was the one who won the championship, but Rick started, that transformation. And I also covered Rick when he was a player, Doug, with the Nets. I covered Rick. So I've known Rick for a long time.
So this is in no way to go like, he's an idiot, okay? But, and I hate this, they did what they always do in taking Luka out at like the 6-minute mark. Right, they're up 23-8, and all of a sudden he's got guys checking in for Luka Doncic, who's made his first 4 buckets. They're up 28-11, complete control of the game, and they sub him out. Now you might say to yourself, like, "What's the big deal? It's a first quarter. Everybody makes a run in the NBA." That's true. Okay, go back and look. You get that thing over 20, and it's almost always a wrap. You get it over 25, good night, drive home, go home safely. The Clippers felt like at that point they were so tight, they wanted to just, let's just get this thing over with. Luka checks out, and it's like, really? Wait, you're going to take the guy who's dominating the series out of the game? I think they lost the series in that short stint of time. Let's welcome in Michael Lee, who does a fantastic job covering the NBA for the Washington Post. He joins us here in the Dan Patrick Show. Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. Michael, there's obviously other big stories to talk about, but am I crazy for being harshly critical of a really good coach doing what he always does, but not reading the moment and the chance to stick the dagger in the heart of the Clippers?
A little bit. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're up by 19, which is what they were, and the way that Tim Hardaway Jr. has been playing, the way a lot of their reserves have been playing, you got to trust what's been working. They went up 2-0 in L.A. using the same exact formula, and they crushed the Clippers there. There's no reason to think that the way the Clippers came out and performed that they were all of a sudden going to turn around, but they did. So I think that's sort of a hindsight thing, the way to look back at it and say, yeah, they lost it there. And you can say they did. But I don't think that Rick Carlisle was wrong in doing what was working the first two games and looked like it was going to work again in game three.
Yeah, you know what? In that series, the first three games, Dallas shot 51% from three. I mean, so I think it was skewed where people thought that was normal or regular. Man,
But Rob, they couldn't guard him. The Clippers couldn't guard him.
No,
They couldn't figure out a matchup that they're like. Anytime they brought in Zubac, you know, he's going right at Zubac, you know, or Porzingis was going, you know, stretching Zubac out, right? They couldn't figure it out.
Something else happened in that game too during that stretch when Luka sat. Kawhi Leonard said, forget this. I'm taking over right now. And he had like seven straight shots, and they couldn't stop him because he didn't shoot the first couple minutes of the game. He was just kind of cruising into the game and getting his fit, feeling it out. And then once he said, nah, I'm not going out like this, and everybody else on the team just started getting their confidence, and you can just sort of see it right now. You know, it's funny, after the first two games, everyone's ready to bury Kawhi, and everyone's saying, how dare do we ever think he was the best player in the game? What are we doing? Why do we anoint this guy after he won a championship? Oh, he's a bum, la, 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 la. Hey, what has he been doing? this whole series, he's been off the charts.
You just said it. He was 8-for-8 to start the game. Game four, he started 6-for-6. And let me give you his numbers in the playoff.
It's crazy.
65% shooting from the field, 50% from three. I mean, you're right. He has been unbelievable in the playoffs.
And I'll say this. I mean, I was talking to an exec just recently, and I was saying, he said to me something I have to agree with. You give me last year's Raptors with last year's Kawhi Leonard, they probably go back-to-back last year in the bubble. They probably go back-to-back. You see how good the Raptors were last year going to the Game 7 in the conference semis?
I mean,
and you have Kawhi Leonard on that squad? They at least get out of the East. I mean,
right.
I think if Kawhi wins this series and they do what people expect them to do, we might be redefining who Kawhi is. That's what I love about the playoffs. Every game is like some sort of, time to
referendum.
Talk about your legacy or whatever.
Right. Referendum. Yeah. Let's get to the Lakers. I mean, you want to talk about things change quickly. I'm telling you, Michael, I live in Los Angeles. 24 hours ago, they were getting ready to put the other banner up. They were like, where are we going to put 18 up? Where are we going to put it up?
Right? Yeah.
Remember, in game three, LeBron's posting up, and the bench is in full clown mode. They're laughing. They're giggling like, man, they are having a great time. What a connected basketball team. Look at LeBron in your 18. He's having such a great time. Even yesterday, early in the game, a spin and transition, he dunks it. He felt even surprised by the fact he could still do that. And
then pull-up on the alley-oop off the backboard?
Yeah, and then, they throw it out the backboard to him, Caruso to LeBron. Like, these dudes are having fun. And then Anthony Davis goes down, and meanwhile the Suns had woken up. What would your level of concern be if you were a Laker fan?
If AD's hurt, it's on 11 out of 10 or 50 out of 10. I mean, it's the ultimate level of concern, because you look at I think the Lakers are like 1-6 this year with LeBron and without AD this year. That's not a good record, and you're playing a good team, and you're playing a team that we still haven't seen Devin Booker, after game one, have the type of performance we know he's capable of. And, you know, going back to Phoenix, he's probably going to be ready and prime to have that kind of game that we expect from him, knowing what kind of star he is. So I think that there's a lot of reason to be worried, you know, because even as great as LeBron is, he hasn't had one of those takeover type games. I'm not saying he's not capable of it. We know he is. We know what he can do at this time of year. But it's so much easier when you have AD out there to draw the attention of everybody else. And the question is LeBron going to bring it? It's who else on the Lakers going to bring it? You know, those two games that they dominated and made everybody think, oh, yeah, the Lakers are back. They're about to repeat. It's because AD played at that level. AD was that dude. And, you know, it's for what everyone wants to joke and call him A. Disney in the bubble, but he was the man in that postseason run, hitting that big shot against Denver, yep. In the finals, everything. He's the guy that elevated that franchise, you know, because, I mean, LeBron got hurt that first year in L.A. They didn't make the playoffs. They won a championship the first year with A.D. So whatever the highest level of concern is, that's what it is if A.D. is not going to be 100% this series.
What's your take on Milwaukee? And Miami from last year, is that just a fluke, the bubble fluke for the Heat? Because they weren't even competitive in this series against Milwaukee.
Yeah,
what'd you make of that?
There are a lot of factors in why Miami wasn't good this year, you know, from COVID to Victor Oladipo's injury to just not having that same rhythm or fire as they had. Tyler Hero wasn't the same as he was last year in the bubble.
Well, remember, they didn't want to give away Tyler Hero at any cost.
Yeah.
They would have had James Harden if they gave away Tyler Hero.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of factors that prohibited them from really elevating, but I'm more impressed by the Bucks. I think the conversation is more about them and just what the addition of Jrue Holiday has done and also just giving that defensive presence and P.J. Tucker. I mean, based on the way they look, I mean, Brooklyn's going to have his hands full because, you know, Giannis is still playing at an MVP level, even though he didn't make it top three. He still was on that level this year. Chris Middleton seems to be in a real comfortable space, just mainly because Jrue Holiday's there. Chris Middleton knows that he doesn't have to be a superstar if Giannis isn't. He knows that he can just be Chris Middleton because Jrue Holiday is going to take out the other team's best player. And so the way Brooklyn's been looking on the defensive end, you know, and the way Milwaukee is playing defense, I mean, right now, they like the better team, especially with the addition of P.J. Tucker. So Milwaukee exercised some demons right there, and they look like a team that's more poised for a longer run than the previous 2 years. It's going to be tough. That Brooklyn, I'm looking forward to that series more than any other series in this postseason. But I think right now you have to give the edge to Milwaukee just based on continuity and that defensive presence.
Michael Lee joining us here on the Dan Patrick Show, along with Rob Parker. I'm Doug Gottlieb. And, so Kyrie was magnificent yesterday, right? Maybe not
39 points.
Maybe not as good as Kevin Durant, but there's no way I can sit here. And I know the Celtics are depleted, right? You don't have three starters.
You still got to make shots, though. You still got to make shots.
No, if we're telling the honest tale, The Nets were already a prohibitive favorite. Jaylen Brown out for the year. Now you're down two more starters. The Nets are already better than the Celtics. But, like, look, he played great, okay? First, what do you make of the stepping on the leprechaun's face and smushing the leprechaun's face?
You know, let him have it. You know what I mean? You can get mad about it. Don't throw no water bottle at him. I mean, when Terrell Owens went to the star, what happened there? Emmitt Smith handled it, right? Emmitt Smith handled it. Not the Cowboys fans. Emmitt Smith handled it. So I think if he did it and Celtics players are upset by it, let them handle it. You know, I don't make too much of it. I mean, guys out there, they got emotions. You know, they got frustrations. And Kyrie let it out in that moment. I mean, I wouldn't have done it, but I don't know what kind of frustration Kyrie's feeling. So I let him have it, and that's part of the competition.
But
if anybody's upset about it.
It's different with T.O. because – at the time, T.O. was with the Niners. He hadn't played for the Cowboys. That's the ultimate irony to it, right? As he comes to play for the Cowboys.
That he winds up playing for them, right?
Right. I mean, it's so ironic. It's not even funny. Anyway, Kyrie was the one who grabbed the microphone and said, if you'll have me, I want to stay. Kyrie was the one who had...
He didn't promise, though, he was staying. If you listen to that statement, he didn't say, I'm going to be here for sure. He didn't say that.
He came as close as you can, but he didn't.
Rob, you're literally the only person who's like, I remember listening to that.
And I told Chris.
No, it wasn't. All it was a fan-friendly event, right?
He didn't have to say it. He didn't have to say anything. He went
right?
out.
None of this stuff had to happen, okay?
Yeah.
But it did happen, and then whatever went down, and I know a little bit more about what went down, then, and none of it was the Celtics fans. It's Kyrie and his inability to get along with his teammates and the fact that they achieved less with him than they did without him. Like, that's all that kind of went down there. And all of a sudden it becomes about the fans, the Celtics, and racism. And yeah, some idiot throws a water bottle. I have no idea if a dude wearing a Kevin Garnett jersey did it because Kyrie's black, or maybe just because he's annoyed at Kyrie and he had too much to drink and he's an idiot. But I just, like, this Kyrie rewriting the narrative of everybody doing him wrong is kind of comical.
Yeah, I mean, I give Kyrie a lot of blame for how that situation in Boston ended. I thought he handled it in a very tacky manner. I think what he's been saying since he left has been, you know, take some responsibility for the role you play and why Boston fans don't like you right now. And don't make it about race. I agree with you on that. I mean, we can talk about Boston and racism. That's another issue. We talk about American racism. That's another issue. I mean, this is the anniversary of the Tulsa of massacre. So let's remember that, too. But sure. On another topic, on this topic, I'm staying on the course. When it comes to Kyrie Irving, he's got to take responsibility for what he did. He's got to take responsibility for not showing up when Boston needed him. He got to just own it and just move on. And, you know, I don't know what prompted him to do it. It's just probably just something in the moment. But I didn't make as big a deal of it. I'm more upset at the fan who threw the water bottle because that could have really hurt somebody.
Right.
And that was just, I mean, that's what I take more issue with than anything.
What?
But I think that if a guy, if he didn't like Boston and he didn't like playing there anymore and he doesn't like the city and he didn't like the team, then, you know, whatever. You know, I think that fans have a right to say whatever they want to him without crossing the line. But I also think you've got to be able to take it.
Michael, let me ask you.
If you leave the way you did, you got to be ready to take it. You can't just deflect. You got to be able to say, "Yeah, I messed up."
Let me ask you one more question because we're running out of time. The Danny Ainge response to, like, I've been in Boston for 26 years. I don't know anything about this, and no player ever told me.
Come on,
I mean, how could Danny Ainge honestly say that and have people take him seriously? Like, given the history of Boston.
I mean, if he talked to one of his teammates from that era, they would be able to tell him for sure. I'm sure if he talked to Cornbread Maxwell, he'd tell him exactly what his experience in Boston was like. He loves Boston, still lives there, but I know he experienced some things. I don't know why Danny would say that. I don't know what he tried to prove by saying that. If I'm a Celtics player right now, I'm looking at him with a side eye for him to even express that. That was just wrong. I can't believe that he would. I don't understand why you would be defensive of being racist. I don't understand why you would defend racism and say, "Oh, we're not that bad." Yo, man, just accept it.
Can I meet you halfway? All you gotta say is, like, look, man,
I never did it.
No, you don't have to say that. You got, like, look. Obviously, the history of Boston in the past.
Yes,
there's some ugliness there, and we've all been, like, our eyes open to the fact that some of these idiots still exist, and all we're trying to do is get that ratio. To be eliminated to where it's there aren't any, but we're not to that point, but it's not close to what it maybe used to be. Ben, and you know, the only thing you can do is point it out when it happens and realize that most people aren't like that. But when it does work both ways though, right? When I'll just tell you, when Kyrie says, you know, like, there's racism there, like, yo, I'm not a racist. Like, no one likes being called racist, and also no one likes being told that none of it actually exists.
Right.
Like,
see, Doug,
these two things can go hand in hand.
Right. Danny can't say, "I've been there 26 years and I don't know of any of it." Like that is unacceptable. That's where you're being disingenuous.
You also can't diminish anyone's experience.
Yes.
Like, I'm a black man and I've been to Boston dozens, thousands of times. I mean, I'm a black man who loves Boston. I enjoy being in Boston. I've had a great experience in Boston. I've never encountered any racism in Boston.
And I've had the exact opposite.
In a lot of places. But I have a lot of friends who've had the exact opposite experience. And I'm never going to diminish their experience. I'm going to say, "Oh, man, that's messed up." And try to empathize with them and understand it. I'm not going to dismiss it because I'm not aware of it. Even if you aren't aware of it, and say, "You know what? Let me reach out to him and figure out what he experienced before I open my mouth and sound like a moron." Don't try to diminish racism or anybody's experience. Try to understand it and empathize it. That's what Danny Ainge should have done. Instead of trying to act like it's nothing exists, actually ask somebody. Talk to somebody. Talk to Jaylen Brown. Talk to one of your players. Say, "Hey, man, is this true? Is this something that you've experienced?" Don't go on the radio and try to act like you know that's something that doesn't exist or say something that doesn't exist. Ask a question. Figure it out on your own. Don't try to dismiss it. This is real.
It's Mr. Michael Lee. Check him out in the Washington Post. Follow him on social media as well. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Mike,
we appreciate it.
Take it easy, bud.
Hey, nice talking to y'all, fellas. Take care.
Pleasure.
Enjoy your holiday.
The pleasure is all ours. Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. How much punishment should an athlete face for not talking to the media? You know, the old, I'm only here to not get fined. We'll discuss that next on the Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW. And take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Rob Parker in for Dan the Danettes. It's the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Look, there's great sporting events happening throughout the world, including in the French Open taking place, Rob?
Yes, sir. I've been to the Australian Open. But the French Open is underway.
It is underway. And do most Americans know it's underway?
No. Used to. Things have changed. You know that with tennis.
I do think the French Open is one that's like, eh, it's all red. It's dirty. They're playing on clay. It's that in the French Open. It's like, yeah, that we care only in record more than we actually care. Still, the big story is, and it's a bigger story within the smaller sport, is Naomi Osaka, who, of course, won two majors last year. She's been fined $15,000 after skipping her mandatory news conference following her first round win at the French Open. Now, she said, of course, she said she wasn't going to do any media because of mental health issues, right?
Yes, and this was prior to the event taking place. She put it out on social media, Doug, and said, "Oh, I'll just take the fine or whatever, but this is what I'm doing."
She beat Patricia Maria Tigg 6-4 and 7-6, and afterwards tweeted, "Anger is the lack of understanding. Change makes people uncomfortable." Huh? What do you think of the fine and her skipping the media? In your opinion?
I think it's dead wrong. I think it's unprofessional. I love that the Grand Slam tournaments in tennis put out a joint statement and said if she continues this, Doug, that they will take other steps, including maybe disqualification. When you sign up to be a professional athlete, this is a part of your job. It just is. You can do whatever you want. You're out there to help to promote the game, Doug. It's not about us. People get this so wrong. As a guy who's been a journalist and a sports writer for 35 years, we're there for the fans to ask the questions that they can't ask you. It's not about us. So you're not hurting us. You're taking away tennis fans from hearing your opinion on what went on the court, and that's why they can't let it slide. They can't.
Well, I agree, And, you know, you're conflicted over when she mentions mental health issues and the negativity that she believes.
She should stay home. She should stay home if she has mental health issues and take care of that. I'm being sympathetic. I'm not being comical.
No, I understand what you're saying. I would say, I think that the tennis is as mentally a challenging a sport as there is. There's literally, the reason people go off on referees, there's nobody else to blame other than yourself, right? Like, you just can't. And you screw up, and there's no teammates to blame except in left here in doubles. It's really hard mentally, but look, your sport in terms of popularity, your story is a fascinating one, and you are one of the bright young stars of it. And yeah, it is your job to do media availability. And you could also say hey, I don't feel comfortable asking that question. Next question, please.
Yeah, no comment.
No comment. Or you can just say, hey, next question, please. I just don't feel like that's appropriate. You're allowed to do that.
Yes.
You're allowed to do all of that. And I think she's making it worse. I think she's hurting her sport, which is going to end up hurting her financially. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to basketball. How big a trouble are the Lakers in? With Rob Parker, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of The Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.